You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome along to William Hill's boxing podcast with the one and only Steve Bunce on the line. Buncey, I'm not going to say which has fast become my catchphrase, which is, what a weekend of boxing we've got in store, because it's just every other week, isn't it? What a heavyweight weekend we've got. Before we started with this this trilogy of fights for the three top heavyweights, as they were once upon a time, we thought, yeah, Brazil fight, yeah, not so sure about that. Yeah, Joshua, he'll deal with Miller or Ruiz. Can Fury add to that drama, or will it be a bit of a bore fest, do you think? What do you think to the previous two have just lit up the scene, haven't they? Well, it's crazy, really.
No, the Fury fight against Big Tom Schwartz, one of the nicest fellas I think I've ever had the pleasure of interviewing. No, I don't think it'll be a bore fest. I think Fury's determined to look good doing it, and I think Tom Schwartz knows that he'll lose on points. In fact, he said to me, I lose on points. No matter what I do in the fight, I lose on points. I think Big Tom will give it a go. He knows his life changes forever, Lee, so he'll give it a go. He's in Las Vegas. Bob Arum is talking about a sellout at the MGM. Wow. A sellout. It's not the tickets are going well. Mm. He's talking about a couple of hundred left and we'll have a sellout. Well, you know what? If it's a sellout and Big Tom goes down swinging like we thought Ruiz did, then Fury will continue to make the type of impression he's making here. And trust me, he is making an impression.
Mm. I know every man and his dog's talking about Joshua. As a boxing fan, I watch an awful lot of stuff and listen to stuff, but I've watched probably double the amount of stuff that I ever would do normally, and I'm still addicted to watching things about that fight. What's the word out there now? The word seems to be here amongst, you know, journalists and people who claim to be in the know that the strongest theory is the knockout during fight week in sparring, which, you know, sparring in fight week seems odd. You're being knocked clean out in fight week seems odd. Was there anything there, do you think, Butzio? Is it just that he lost?
Listen, I saw Joshua just about every day. From the Monday before the fight, he gets clipped in sparring. All heavyweights get clipped in sparring, apart from Tyson Fury, who claims in 100-odd rounds he thinks he got hit twice. not hurt twice or knocked down twice, but hit twice. And one of those, he said, was a glancing blow. Listen, Joshua has hard spars. They make the sparring hard. They don't make the sparring camp long, but they make it intense and hard. Basically, if you're familiar with the idea of a perfect storm, Lee, where a zillion factors all come together at the same time, and taking an isolation, those points mean absolutely nothing. So was he a bit weary? Mm-hmm. Yes. Did he have a cold coming? Yes. Did he have a sty in his eye? Yes. Had he got the training camp and the length of it wrong in Miami? Probably. Had he done too much press and media? Yes. Had he been clipped and hurt in sparring? Yes. Did he underestimate John Ruiz? Yes. Any of those on their own would mean nothing. But put them all together and they form a potent cocktail. And I think that's what happened. And that's why, to this day, we've not heard an excuse. And that's why we still have so many theories, is that no one can quite nail it down. Mm. You know, lots of men have retained world titles and won world titles having had really bad sparring camps. That's a fact. Lots of men have won and retained world titles when they've had a cold or when they've underestimated the opponent. But, you know, it's like a whole cocktail of bits and pieces that led to Anthony Joshua's downfall against John Ruiz a couple of weeks ago.
We'll see what happens, obviously, as he gets ready for the rematch and whether he's got it in him to come back from that. We've got a good weekend of boxing. I'm in Leeds. Bunce is in Vegas, so we've got both cities covered off. I'd probably rather be in Vegas, if I'm being completely honest. Let's have a look at the undercard of this Josh Warrington, Kid Galahad, Bill Buncey. Two Commonwealth title fights, both vacant. One's for the super featherweight version, and that's Elfa Barrett versus Leon Woodstock Jr. Barrett's 2-7. The draw 20-1. Leon Woodstock Jr. is 13-5. Barrett's record reads 21-1. His loss came against Ronnie Clark back in February of 2018, which was a majority decision. His opponent, Leon Woodstock, is 12-1. His defeat came against Archie Sharp back in October last year. Good fight this at the First Direct Arena, Buncey. The odds are fairly tight. I mean, I know 2-7's short enough, but in boxing terms, this is about as close as we usually get.
Well, the thing is, before the pair of them had their defeats, the idea was that they were being moved towards some kind of fight about now when they both would have been unbeaten. It's a good fight, you're right about that. It's a cracking fight. The defeats don't mean a thing because they were both really tight and they were both really competitive fights. And they're the type of fights that maybe there could have been rematches. And I'm delighted that that without the rematch, the two of them are boxing each other. It shows a competitive edge and maybe a bit of awareness from everybody involved in our business at the moment that we've got to start putting these kids in that lose fights in more hard fights, because we've been building them up sometimes with wins that are too easy, and suddenly they've lost really competitive fights and shown that they've got the heart and the guts and the desire to be fighters. And so I'm pleased these two are fighting each other. It's the loser of this isn't finished under any circumstances, because I think this will be a bit like the two fights they lost, really close, really competitive. I'm just swaying towards Woodstock. I think he's a bit, he's been active slightly more. Barrett had had an injury after that loss and couldn't, and was meant to fight Ronnie Coward in a rematch, if I'm not mistaken, but hasn't been as active and was out of the gym for a while. So I'm just fancying Woodstock, and I'm just fancying on points.
Yeah, Woodstock on points is 7-2, so a decent price there, Buncey. Let's move on to James Metcalf versus Jason Welburn. This is in for the super welterweight version of that Commonwealth title. Metcalf is 19-0, stopped 11 of his opponents. Last seen beating Santos Medrano in Liverpool back in April. His opponent, Jason Welburn, a much more kind of, I guess, colourful record. 24-7, his record. He stopped 7 of his opponents, and he's been stopped 4 times himself. Last stopped on the night of the Deontay Wilder Tyson Fury card at Staples Centre in round 4 by Jarrett Hurd. That was for he was defending a wealth of belts, wasn't he? The IBO, IBF, and WBA.
Take your pick, son.
Yeah. Before that loss, Buncey, he hadn't lost since 2016. He lost twice in 2016, then came back and he had a decent run where he'd beaten Tommy Langford a couple of times.
Won the British middleweight title.
Yeah, and obviously the Jarrett Hurd, you know, that was just too far a step up. Does that record do him a bit of a disservice, do you think, Buncey, that 24-7? Jason Welburn is the outsider here. He's 7-4, but James Metcalf 2-5. He's got a live chance there, Jason Welburn.
Yeah, I think he's got a live chance. I mean, he proved that in those fights against Tommy Langford last year, both sort of really good scraps and potential fight of the year style fights. And in those fights, I think he showed that he can upset guys that have got good records, that have maybe not been pushed. However, just there is something about Metcalf. You know, he was ready to go about 2 years ago, and a variety of reasons, he's still waiting. He's still, you know, he's winning as he goes along. But this is the sort of fight that he needed and he wanted. And had this fight been made a year ago, he would have started, I think, as a heavier favourite in my books. Since then, Welburn's had, in the last 15, 16 months, Welburn's had a very entertaining series of fights. But I just fancy Metcalf here to make a point, make a claim, stake a claim, and show that he... To fulfil some of the promise that we talked about a couple of years ago. So I'm going Metcalf on points in a really, really hard fight.
At this stage, as we record this, we've only got the actual bout betting. But so I'll chuck the Metcalf win in, and then add the points in to your own acca when you're doing that. Let's move on to the top of the bill fight here. Leeds Arena. It'll be rocking, of course, with all the Leeds United fans as Josh Warrington defends his belt, which he worked obviously so hard to win, the IBF World Featherweight title, which he won against Lee Selby at Elland Road, and then unbelievably defended against Carl Frampton in one of the fights of the year, if not the fight of the year, in late December. His opponent, Kid Galahad, has got a record of 26-0, 15 stoppages in that run. Last opponent he stopped was back in March of last year, Irving Berry, whose record read 23-7. And when you look down Kid Galahad's record, or Barry as Josh's team call him, there's not many O's in the middle column, Buncey. You know, he fought Toka Khan Clary at 25-1. Great record, obviously. And that was over in Boston, so he kind of, you know, left the UK to go and fight over there. A lot of the others have kind of got 7s and 5s. I mean, you know, Lionel Hernandez back in February 2017, 10-18-2. So, you know, the record's not great. This is by far and away the best caliber he'll ever have been in the ring with. And I guess, as Kid Galahad's camp are saying, the only thing on the face of it that can stop this being a Josh Warrington win is complacency.
Yeah, complacency and Galahad fighting the fight of his life and employing everything he's picked up in all of those years he's been around the Brendan Ingle fighters and the Brendan Ingle camp and the Brendan Ingle way of life there. Elusiveness, ability to pounce, make people pay if they miss. He needs to be absolutely the very best Kid Galahad we've ever seen. And we saw snippets of that 3 or 4 years ago before his short ban for drinking a spiked drink one evening, which was reduced on appeal. That Galahad was a good Galahad. I thought, you know, Kid Galahad's a good fighter. Don't imagine he isn't a good fighter. I just think that what we've seen with Josh last year, the two fights last year, has proved that he's moved up and he's established himself at a different level. And I don't think complacency is an issue here because there's a little bit of hate involved. If Kid Galahad was coming in from overseas and he was a Spanish kid with the same credentials, and on the face of it, the credentials aren't that good, then there's just a chance that Josh Warrington might have taken his foot slightly off the pedal preparing in isolation in Leeds. But he's not preparing in isolation in Leeds, and he's not taking his foot off the pedal because he's got some kind of mad derby thing going on here, some kind of real hatred thing going on here, and some kind of real point to prove. I was with Josh last Friday, and I tell you what, he was as intense then as he was before Selby, as intense then as he was before Frampton. It was really reassuring, Lee, I've got to tell you. So I'm fancying that providing the elbow, knee, shoulder, and all of the other aches and pains and bruises and wounds that good fighters have, that's what good fighters have, they all fight with those things, providing they all hold up, I fancy Warrington wins. And I think we're going to see the best Warrington we've seen, the one we saw against Selby, the one we saw against Frampton. We're not going to see a cut price Warrington. We're not going to see an overconfident Warrington. We're going to see a fired up and really aggressive Warrington. I don't think he stops Galahad. I think Galahad's got a decent enough chin and he's elusive enough. But I think he pushes him, and I think he pushes him all the way, and I think he wins quite wide on points. I'm going Warrington on points.
Oh, interesting. I mean, one thing, you know, even when Josh Warrington was making his way, the one thing that you always guarantee is that he's always in unbelievable shape and he's got an unbelievable engine. I mean, you know, it's interesting. Carl Frampton does a podcast, doesn't he? And he watched back the fight, which is the first time he'd watched it, and he watched it live on the podcast, presumably. And, I mean, what he keeps saying is he was surprised at how hard Warrington hit. And looking back at that fight, Buncey, that fight could have gone on 12 rounds or 15 rounds, and Warrington never looked any different. He was just bouncing on his toes constantly. So, you know, he's never going to... You would be very surprised if that was the thing that he let him, you know, let him down, the fitness or the kind of, you know, the willingness to do the work in the gym. That seems like an absolute given with him, doesn't it?
But the thing is, you can take your eye off things. You know, you can... You know, on paper, you can do the same amount of rounds, the same sprints, the same bag work, the same this, the same that. But you're doing them with less intensity. You know, so you're doing it slightly differently.
Yeah.
And I think that was a danger, and it can be a danger. But what I saw last week and talking to him and his father, Sean, I don't see there's any danger that complacency will play a factor in Saturday night. If Josh Warrington loses, it's because Kid Galahad's that good, I can assure you.
Warrington on points has gone in the ACCA, three of those in there right now. Let's move on to the heavyweights then. Tyson Fury versus Tom Schwartz. Tyson Fury, of course, 27-0-1 with that infamous draw against Deontay Wilder, which most of us would agree was a win for Fury, but the record doesn't say that, of course. That was, of course, his last fight as well against Deontay Wilder at the Staples Center back in early December of 2018. His opponent has a record of 24-0, 16 KOs in his record, the German. He's a big old lump, this guy, Bunty. When you see him stood next to each other, he's not kind of dwarfed by Fury at all. I've looked back at a few of his highlight reel, and you wouldn't say he's the most clinical of technical boxers, but he's got a few people out there. The most entertaining fight that he's been in was the Senad Gashi fight, which is looked like a bit of a grudge match, and Gashi was actually disqualified in the end, and then squared up to him after he'd been disqualified, and it all got a little bit unsavoury. But he was under serious pressure there, Bunty. Since then, he's fought three times, stopped all three of those opponents, a couple of them in two rounds. If he takes a leaf out of Andy Ruiz's book and goes for it from the bell, Bunty, it'd be really interesting to see how Fury deals with that. I'm sure Fury would use all his skills to evade that, but he can be a little bit untidy, Schwartz, but he can also bang.
Hey, listen, he's a big guy. He knows how big, as I said, he knows this is his opportunity. This changes his life forever. And the reason why he's been chosen, a big guy, is that, and this is quite a sensible move by both Fury and his new trainer, young Ben Davison, is they decided, look, if we're going to eventually fight Wilder and eventually fight Joshua, of course, this is when Joshua was unbeaten, why are we fighting anybody that doesn't at least in some way, shape or form resemble him, weight-wise and height-wise? So that's why this big guy been chosen. Then they had to choose someone that had a good enough record, and it's an unbeaten guy, and it brings a little bit of the Rocky flavor to it. This is Tyson Fury, Bob Arum and ESPN in the USA here in the Las Vegas public giving this unknown kid a shot. Not there's no title, it's not what it is, the WBO Continental or something, means nothing, but giving this kid a shot, and he'll take it, Tom. He will go down swinging. He will give it absolutely everything. And Fury, unless he's caught cold and then caught cold again, will be fine, because he's a great defensive fighter. He's a great skillful fighter. And he's also in the best mental and physical shape I've ever seen him in. And that's not me reading out carefully scripted lines. That's a fact. He looks sharper than I've ever seen him look. And he's punching with more power, turning his shots. And he looks nasty, I've got to be honest with you. And I know he'll get to Schwartz. The comfortable thing is that the old Fury wins every single second of every round and people are not that happy. Now, I think we'll see a new Fury. I think he'll go for it. I don't think he'll get Big Tom out early, although it could happen because he is really fired up, Tyson. But my gut feeling is that he tenderizes Tom very slowly. And by about round 7 or 9, either the corner or the referee have seen enough. But Tom will earn his money, and sometimes in Las Vegas that's more than enough for a fighter in the opposite corner.
The odds 1-25 Fury, 33-1 the draw. Schwartz is 10-1. Loads of enhanced odds. You got Fury to win by a unanimous decision is 9-4. Schwartz be knocked down in rounds 1-3 is 4-1, so that's not the fight to finish.
That's a nice little fun bet.
1-3. Tyson Fury to be knocked down, full stop in the fight, was 7-1, now 9-1. Have to take account for that, obviously. Now, there's loads of the Your Odds markets as well, so go and check those out. That means if you want to pick your own bet, you just tweet at William Hill, put your bet in there, put hashtag Your Odds, and they'll price it up for you. Just a little selection here. Tyson Fury to win in round 2 and Schwartz to be knocked down in round 1. That's 30-1. So there's a few little fun ones in there that'll get a decent price.
That's not a bad one at all.
No, it's interesting, isn't it? But just going to your... and we've also got all the exact method of victory and all that sort of stuff. Looking at your pick, Bunty, Fury in round 7 or 8 is 9-2. Yep. Not a bad price. If you want Fury in the second half of the fight... 8-5, so a little bit under 2-1, but you're getting the entire second half of the fight, round 7 through 12 there. So that's not a bad bet. The other way around doing that is it's just a little bit bigger, is 15-8 for rounds 1 through 6. But Fury to not have any of the issues that Anthony Joshua has saddled himself with, and to get the job done, Bunty. But what would be the one for you? Second half of the fight, would you go for that? For the Acker?
I'm just going past the halfway stage, yeah.
Unless
Schwartz is caught really early, and don't be at all surprised if we see a really fast Fury come out. If Schwartz is caught and hurt in the first minute, then basically all bets are off for distance. But if Schwartz can get through the first round and get through the second, it'll be slowly tenderised, as I say. It's a lovely expression. Yeah, it perfectly captures what Tyson Fury will do. He'll whip shots in, under the elbow, above the elbow, big powerful jabs, go for a walk, entertain the crowd, switch to southpaw, pummel in with double jabs, switch back, entertain the crowd, and that starts to hurt. That starts to hurt a man. So my gut feeling is 7-9, Schwartz is pulled out by the corner and or the referee says enough is enough, my son.
Yeah, I like the alliteration of the tenderisation of Tom as well. It's very nice.
Yeah, no, big Tom gets tenderised. That's your headline.
Yeah, that's it. That'll do us, won't it? The Acca then, I'll just run through it very quickly. Fury in the second half of the fight, round 7 through 12, 8-5. Josh Warrington by decision at 4-6. James Metcalf at 2-5 just to win. Remember, if you want to add this up a bit bigger, then go James Metcalf on points when that becomes available. And Leon Woodstock Jr. by decision at 7-2. That comes out at just over 25-1. If you're logged in and you've got money in your account, any trebles or bigger will get the boost opportunity. And if you hit the black and yellow button, that will boost to 30-1. Very nice indeed.
Get in.
It's nice that, isn't it, Buncey? And take that, Buncey, all day long. Very good. Buncey, thank you very much for your time. Enjoy the rest of the weekend. Enjoy the fight, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, Lee.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.